Locker needs your poppy tips. He is struggling right now. His poppy fell off. He's trying to get it back on. It is not going well.
It's been a battle today. I put it on the inside of my shirt the first attempt. I'm like, look at that. And then I'm like, it's on the
inside. That's not how it works. Yeah.
I had my shirt flipped around so I could.
Although Sarah Mills, she gave us a tip. The rubber band tip is
really
awesome.
Is strong. Yeah, that was a strong move.
Just to cut up a piece of rubber band and keeps that poppy right there. It's pretty good. That's a pretty good tip. You have any other ones for us? Locker.
I have poked a hole in my hand now four times.
I've heard him curse five or six times in the last 5 minutes.
Well, and then the middle fell out. And then I lost the little black piece in the middle, which is,
yeah.
You can't have a poppy without the middle piece. Okay, there we go.
Did you figure your life out yet?
Is it good?
You know, I think so.
Is it on the right side? It's got to be over the heart.
Should we start?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Oh! Darn it! I hit flash again.
Let's go!
You good?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Starting lineup, the top sports headlines. The Rough Riders, top defensive back and receiver, look like they're getting ready to play the West Final.
It wasn't a guarantee. You know, it was just depending on how my body recovered and how I felt throughout that process of going through the treatments and all the different protocols they have for me, but... You know, I'm able to be back out there, and it feels great.
That is Roland Milligan Jr., top defensive player of the year in the CFL last season, top defensive back for the Riders this season. We'll get into his all-star nod as well coming up, but he was limited practice yesterday, did a lot more today. He looks ready to go. Keyshawn Johnson was limited today, but he didn't participate yesterday. So he's trending in the right direction for the Rough Riders. Of course, today was the last open practice. It'll be a closed practice. They'll disclose who's out and available tomorrow and then the depth chart on Friday ahead of the West Final. Right now, of those who haven't already been deemed out for the season, but Shane Ray appears to be the only starter who may not be able to go. It seems
incredible.
That is one healthy setup for the Rough Riders.
Is that not?
That's rare. It's rare to have everybody like trending to play. Usually at the end of the year, it's like, okay. Next man up.
Yeah.
And that has been the way for the Riders the last couple of weeks. But yeah, it might be full blast for the roster, except for Shane Ray, of course, for the Saturday's West Final. 5:30 kickoff, the Green Zone pregame show at 3:30.
More good news for the Riders. They lead the league with 9 CFL All-Stars.
Down the field, Keyshawn Johnson. Are you kidding me? First time.
Okay, so lead the league. It's also the most in Rough Rider history. The previous record was 7 back in 1967. I'm going to go through the list, and then at the end of the list, Jamie, you tell us who are first-time nominees, okay, or winners, I should say. All right? Micah Johnson,
press release off
defensive tackle. Jameer Thurman, linebacker. C.J. Revis, cover linebacker. Roland Milligan Jr., defensive halfback. Tavon Campbell, cornerback. Keyshawn Johnson, wide receiver. Logan Ferland, center. Jacob Bramer, right guard. And Jamarcus Hardrick, right tackle. All right. Who are first time?
Keyshawn Johnson, first time All-Star.
Ding.
Jacob Bramer is a first time All-Star. Jameer Thurman. He should have. What? This is his first All-CFL nod? That's amazing to me. But he's a first time All-Star. And Tavon Campbell, first-time All-Star.
That's the kind of expertise you get from Jamie Nye here on the Green Zone, everybody.
Being able to pull up the release that tells me the facts. Of course, Micah Johnson, 5-time. Now, it's not a CFL All-Star anymore. It's All-CFLer, but I'll continue to call them All-Stars. But Micah Johnson, five-time CFL All-Star. C.J. Revis, Roland Milligan Jr., Logan Ferland, all their second year, they back-to-back.
Yeah.
They were All-Stars last year and this year. And Jamarcus Hardrick, that is his third from 21 and 23 with the Bombers. So congratulations. Nine. They had 10 division. Dante Myers was the only one who didn't go from division to the league All-Star nod. All right. Let's just do a mental health check with Locker after another Oilers loss.
Budding star. Team leader in goals this season. Wyatt Johnston scores! Dallas takes it in a shootout.
Yeah, the Dallas Stars storm back. Mikko Rantanen had two goals and assists for the Stars. It was Draisaitl, McDavid, and Podkolzin for the Oilers. McDavid joined Sidney Crosby as the only active players to reach 20 points within the first 15 games of a season seven times in their career. He has 4 points and 17 assists on the year.
Okay.
And it says here in big, bold, capitalized letters, I am supposed to read this out, Bouchard is still awful.
Okay. Now, hold on. If you get a minute, go check the highlights. Check that third goal in the third period by Dallas that ties it up. Watch Bouchard. He loses his man and then doesn't cover him because the guy sneaks in behind him and pops it in. Just awful.
He was a plus one last night, wasn't he?
Brutal. Sure was. So now he's only minus eight on the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk through it with Drew a little bit later on, who is on the show today. Drew Romanda, our NHL analyst.
We're getting a lot of texts about Poppy advice, by the way.
As we should.
Thank you.
We both need help.
Oh, it's my turn? Okay. Both the Habs and the Jets, three-game winning streaks ended last night.
And time runs down here, and that's going to do it. And a shutout for Darcy Kuemper on a night when Gowdy sets a club record.
Suzuki cutting in. Oh, the backhand. He had him. He had him on the backhand, but he couldn't bury it. And the Flyers win an entertaining game.
All three Canadian teams losing last night, so the Canadians losing in a shootout to the Flyers 5-4, and the Jets got shut out by the Kings 3-0 there. And again, yes, all three Canadian teams not faring well on Tuesday night.
As for the record, Doughty, he passed Rob Blake for the most goals by a defenseman in LA Kings history last night with an empty net marker. And the Biebs is staying in Toronto.
Shane Bieber in a 2-1 game. On a 2-2 from Bieber, he fouls it into the glove. Bieber made his best changeup of the night to strike him out. Strike three. Second time that Bieber has struck out his pitching counterpart.
There you have it. Shane Bieber is opting into a $16 million option. So he will return to the Toronto Blue Jays. He was acquired at the trade deadline. Of course, he hadn't pitched because he was recovering from Tommy John surgery, but came a stable force down that stretch run. Started a couple of games in the playoffs. Of course, one game in the World Series in which he outdueled Shohei Ohtani. So that, if you have Gausman and Savage and Barrios and maybe Bassett, and Bieber, like where the Jays are starting this season with their starting rotation for 2026 compared to last year.
Yeah.
Like they're way ahead.
I thought the Bieber gamble was pretty decent, right? Like, I mean, obviously.
Well, it was, I don't know. It was low risk, high reward. And
yeah.
I think it's a high reward for Shane Bieber. Unfortunately, he gave up the winning home run in the World Series in Game 7. So
that's the black mark on it, right? But, I mean, I still think that was... Anyway, would they have been there without him?
Who knows?
Right?
Bassett would have been in there, and he pitched really good in the playoffs. But Shane Bieber, hey, great investment for a former Cy Young Award at that money value. That is a good deal for the Toronto Blue Jays. Meanwhile, a Game 7 of the World Series was averaged 51 million viewers in U.S., Canada, and Japan, making it the most watched Major League Baseball game globally in 34 years. So that was a monster viewership for the World Series across the globe, specifically Canada, U.S.
Well, that's good news,
Japan.
Too, because there was a lot of conversation if it wasn't the Yankees and the Dodgers, that it wasn't going to be anything that anybody cared about, right?
But yeah, Canada, they were invested. Japan was definitely invested with the players that the Dodgers have. And even the it was interesting to see the ratings. When we have Tom Manek, it was interesting the ratings of the World Series in the States. And when the World Series started, the ratings went way up, even though it was the Blue Jays and the Dodgers. But that's just traditional. It's America's pastime, right? It's the fall classic. It is almost like, I'll watch the World Series. And that's what the ratings showed, even in the United States. Now, coming up next here in the Green Zone, of course, we're celebrating football weekend in Saskatchewan. A lot of ball being played across the province. And, of course, that means looking at the forecast. We're asking you today, what's your perfect playoff football weather? What would you like to see in the forecast for playoff football?
I got mine.
Or is it in a dome? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. It's not Tuesday, is it? It's Wednesday today.
Okay, yesterday I thought it was Wednesday, and today you think it's Tuesday? We're a group.
Right when I said, I'm like, it is not Tuesday at all. That was yesterday. Meanwhile, Saturday is coming fast. The West Final. Tickets are moving. Getting closer to a sellout.
Where are we at right now?
Oh, there's only a 1,500 or so left.
Oh, it's going to sell out.
It's got to sell out. So looking at the forecast for Mosaic Stadium on Saturday, sunny skies. Expect it.
What's the temperature?
-6 is a high.
So by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, we're going to be probably -8?
Yeah. Probably by the end of the game into the
-10
territory. Doesn't look like wind. Doesn't look like snow. So we're asking you. It's playoff football in Saskatchewan. You have the Hardy Cup final. You have provincial playoff finals. You have, of course, the West final going on. The Canadian Bowl in Saskatoon. What's your playoff weather? What's your football go-to? Man, this is what playoff football weather should be on the prairies. What do you want?
Tony's with you.
Snow?
He wants a good old-fashioned snowstorm. See, I'm
not a snowstorm. Just, I love snow games. That Ottawa Grey Cup, Shania Twain on the dog sled for the halftime show. The big snowflakes, the theater of that. Hamilton, Ontario, Grey Cup, Edmonton against Toronto. The Eddie Brown kicks it up with his foot into his hands into the end zone with angry Ron Lancaster with that you-know-what call on Doug Flutie's fumble that wasn't called a fumble game. The theater of snow games. I love playing football in the snow growing up.
See, yeah, no, I'm like you, if I find out there's a snow game in Buffalo,
we're watching.
I'm watching, but it's not perfect playoff football weather.
Do you want to be in a dome in Vancouver?
No,
Walker?
No. I think the -10, a bit of a wind chill, not much of a wind. And like I said with JB, just the ground is just crunching underneath of your feet. That's perfect football playoff weather.
1-877-332-8255. What would be your perfect playoff forecast for wherever you're going to be?
Maybe. Okay, hold on. This just came in from Jeff. The last Grey Cup game in the old Taylor Field. That was perfect weather. Do you remember that one?
It was +1.
It was +1?
Okay. +1.
That's too warm.
That whole week was -30. It was like hell froze over. It was ridiculous. And then game time, it was 1 degree. People are in T-shirts. It felt like it was tropical compared to the rest of that Grey Cup week, scampering in to Real District to get to Ryderville and hopefully don't have to wait outside in line because you're going to freeze your you-know-what off. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. Football weekend in Saskatchewan really kicks off Friday night. It's the 6A High School Provincial Final.
Friday Night Lights.
Holy Cross, Miller's SMF Field on Friday night. Then you have all the high school provincial finals on Saturday, Sunday, the Canadian Bowl, and also Saturday, the West Final. 5:30 kickoff, Green Zone pregame show at 3:30. It's the Riders and the Lions. And we're not done yet. There's another one on Saturday. 2 o'clock kickoff, Griffith Stadium, the 88th Hardy Cup, the Canada West football final. And
rematch.
It is a rematch of the Battle of Saskatchewan last year that the Rams took home the Hardy Cup. And it's the Huskies hosting the Rams this year. For the Hardy Cup final, the winner will host the Mitchell Bowl next week. And, of course, the Vanier Cup is going to be played at Mosaic Stadium in 2.5 weeks. Seth Hundeby, linebacker of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, draft pick of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, with a preview. Seth, after last year's disappointment, are you happy it's the Rams for a rematch in the Hardy Cup?
A little bit, yeah. You know, they're our provincial rivals, so anytime you get to play the Rams, I know a lot of those guys, and they always put up a good game, and it's always a fun time. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good game for sure.
The Rams and the Huskies played to a 22-20 thriller. The only time you've played back-to-back Hardy Cup finals against the Rams. How much has this rivalry built up over the last couple of years here for you guys, Seth?
Yeah, you know, like the if you just look at it from a standpoint of finishing seasons, they definitely have grown over the years, and like I've played against the Rams quite a few times. I've always had a scrappy team that punches above their weight, and they got a lot of good guys this year, and they're well coached, lots of athletes, so I think that we're going to match up well, and it's going to be just an absolute grind. And, you know, that's kind of what you expect when you have two Saskatchewan teams playing in a very meaningful game. So, yeah, I think it's going to be very physical, that's for sure.
Of course, unfortunately, the Rams lost their star running back, Marshall Erickson. Since the last time you played, they've changed quarterbacks. What do you even expect to see from the Rams offense trying to prepare for maybe some unknowns, Seth?
You know, I think that they have a very similar mentality to, as, like, I'm sure a lot of teams have, of just that next guy up mentality. Like, sure, there might be some changes, but like their philosophy of, you know, run the rock and have calculated passes are still going to be there. And I'm sure if they are making those changes, it's for good reason. So I'm sure that they're still going to be coming out firing. And I believe if Erickson, isn't able to play, which that's really unfortunate. I'm wishing him all the best, but if I believe Katende would be in, he's a really good running back, played against him quite a few times, so I feel like it's still going to be a good matchup either way.
Seth, we are getting ahead of ourselves here, so just forgive us, but it's worth asking. The Vanier Cup is being hosted in Regina, Mosaic Stadium. How many busloads of Husky fans, because you guys have no problem filling your barn, of fans and family do you think are going to be making it down in 2 weeks if you're in the cup?
If that situation was to hopefully occur, I think a lot of fans and a lot of buses would head down there, especially when you consider how far Regina is in the grand scheme of Canada, and to potentially have the opportunity of playing in a Vanier. I think that there would be quite a few fans that would go if that opportunity hopefully occurs.
Seth Hundeby joining us, of course, star linebacker, University of Saskatchewan Huskies, getting set for the Hardy Cup final against the U of R Rams this weekend. Griffith Stadium, of course, is the place. Seth, when you look at overall your last couple of months, it started being drafted by the Rough Riders, but you made it clear you were, I'm going back to school. I got engineering degree to take care of my eligibilities. There are other players who would wait and see. Will I make the team? Maybe I'll make that decision. Why were you willing to potentially pass on making a pro team and just say, nope, draft me, but I'm going back to school?
Yeah, no, that I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and in the grand scheme of like the way that the engineering program works, it's very regimented for the classes that you are offered and when they are in the fall and winter. And so when I was looking at the future, if I was able to do this term, which I'm doing right now, it really opened up what I was able to do to basically finish off my degree almost in its entirety in just winter terms. So then that way I would be able to pursue a professional career playing football while still getting my degree, because, you know, it's something I'm actually really passionate about, really enjoy. And it definitely is something like, because, you know, football, whether you like it or not, will say at a certain point, we're done. We're breaking up. And that just goes for everyone. So having something in the back pocket that I am passionate about and will make me a couple dollars as well is something that I really wanted to make sure I had. So I'm really fortunate that, you know, the Rough Riders are really, really good about it, and they understood that that's what my intentions were. And overall, like, I don't regret my decision, and I'm really happy that I'm getting my engineering degree.
Yeah, you're an academic All-Canadian. You're a heck of a football player. How do you balance it? Like, what's your, like, how regimented is your life to go, okay, this is my football a couple hours, this is my school a couple hours? Like, how on point do you have to be to be as successful as you are on the field as you are off of it?
Yeah, it comes down to making a lot of lists of being like, all right, I got this many hours and this many assignments, and this chunk goes to football, and then that leaves me with, ooh, okay, that's not a ton of time for assignments, so I better be efficient in doing these. And there's the odd time when you got to email a professor and be like, hey, like, you know, I'm in this situation, could I get an extension and whatnot? But usually for the most part, if you approach it with a good systematic approach and have a good plan and stick to it, usually things go pretty well.
Seth, I just want to, this isn't so much as a question as just a statement. I've never met you, but the decision you made to put school ahead of athletics must have been a tough one, but you got to be commended. I think it needs to be said out loud that I hope the people in your life were behind you in that decision, and I think it's going to pay off down the road.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I hope it does.
Quickly, let's get into the Huskies. You got a game coming up this weekend. What are the strengths of you and that squad?
Of myself, or just as the Huskies and
as the Huskies as a team? What are your strengths?
Gotcha. You know, I think we have a really good solid defense. I think that we've really come together as a whole. And you know, like, the thing that I always like is that everyone's flying to the ball and they're looking to lay a big hit. And I know defensively that's a good mentality, just wanting to wear out an offense and make it so, like, yeah, you might be open, but do you really want to catch that ball? So I feel like our front seven, you know, is pretty solid. You know, a lot of guys they're accountable for their jobs, and they're always in their gaps. So I feel like, you know, like, defensively we're pretty stout, and then offensively we have a lot of playmakers there and a lot of veteran, you know, like Riker Frank running the ball, and like Dan Weeb running routes. That guy, he is an athletic specimen. And then Jake Farrell stepping up, like, he's found out that he has some legs under him and spreading the pocket. Like, O-line, like, they're also pretty veteran. So overall, I'd say pretty veteran, pretty calculated, and just pretty calm, cool. You know, we're going to play our game, and we're going to kind of control the football as much as we can.
We got to watch Daniel in person at training camp with the Riders, and yourself, of course. He was. You both were pretty impressive up there. But how important was that experience with the Riders camp to help you this year as a collegiate player? Like, how many takeaways did you have from preparing with the Rough Riders to go, okay, I'm going to apply this to my Huskies season this year?
Yeah, there was definitely a lot. And I was super fortunate that I got that opportunity to, you know, like, play with professional football players. And, you know, like, with the game being faster and the guys being bigger and stronger, you just kind of get a little bit more accustomed to that. So then when you come back down to the next level, things move a little slower. And there's so many tips and tricks that, like, the guys there, and they're so willing to give. They're like, hey, man, like when you're taking these pursuit angles, you should think about it this way. And then there's so many things, and just being a sponge and absorbing as much as you could just to, A, you know, potentially benefit you down if you do make a pro career. But then even, like, coming back to Huskies, there's been lots of things that I've shared with, like, the linebacker room that I was told from, you know, like, Jameer Thurman and whatnot. There was, like, a very experienced linebacker in that regard. So Yeah, it definitely has really, really helped, and definitely was a really good experience.
Seth, I was doing a little bit of research on you, and it looks like your family has an unbelievable connection to U of S and the Huskies in particular. So curious, a couple of questions. One, who's the best athlete in the Hundebee family? And also, two, if you had even remotely considered playing for the Rams, would you be able to go home?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Regarding your first question, I always looked up to my Uncle Kurt. He played O-line for the Huskies, and he's like probably like the some of the biggest calves I know, and just has always been just a big workhorse. Growing up, you know, being an athletic kid, I always want to like wrestle with him and during Christmas time and whatnot. So I think he's probably one of the guys I look up to the most who's been a Husky. And then, you know, knowing my family, I am super fortunate. I usually have about like 10 people follow me to every game. And whether it's like at home or away, they're like, you know what, we're just going to come to. And I'm so fortunate. So I bet you even if I did go down to Regina, they would be cheering me on there. And whatever color jersey I have, they're going to keep supporting me. I'm super fortunate to have that. So, yeah, I think I'm in a pretty good situation when it comes to my family support, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there any point of any other school trying to recruit you, though? Like, the bloodlines
the
are pretty thick with the Huskies set.
A lot of Huskies merch in the household, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, it definitely was a pretty cool realization when after high school, and then I mean, is that even an option to play like post-secondary? And then my high school coach was like, yes, there's definitely an option. And you know, actually Coach Flory lives just down the road, and so we had him over, and my mom made him a cake to boost my odds. So yeah, you know, and like I just like
cake always works. It never fails.
So far, yeah, it's worked out pretty good. So yeah, and like the Huskies with a good schooling program in my hometown. Successful team, good coaching, new guys going to the team. It just seemed like the best fit for me and definitely has been.
Well, I'm writing that down as my next time I talk to Scott Flory. How much baking do you consume in your recruitment tour from, you know, parents, you know, here's some cupcakes, here's some whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We've joked about that a couple times. It's like coach will take, you know, like,
you like banana bread
for suppers. And yeah, yeah, exactly.
Although
and
Scott
like,
looks...
Know, like, you want to go to the cake and it's like, oh, coach, I had you over to my house. You never took me out on a nice supper and stuff like that. So yeah, we laugh about that.
Yeah, well, but Scott looks he in prime condition. Like he's cut weight since his O-line days with the Montreal Alouettes. That's for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't look like a guy that says no to a cake, though.
Yeah, exactly. No, is anybody? But Seth, congratulations! Another great year. Best of luck this weekend in the Hardy Cup and the path forward throughout the playoffs.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That is Seth Hundebee, fourth-round pick of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and a star athlete, a star student at the University of Saskatchewan with the Huskies. They take on the Rams Saturday, 2 o'clock, Griffith Stadium in the Hardy Cup final. The winner will host the Mitchell Bowl against the champs from Ontario ahead of the Vanier Cup hosted at Mosaic Stadium in Regina this year.
It's going to be a good tilt this weekend.
I think so. Only one game so far this year, as we mentioned, 22-20. The Huskies won that one earlier in the year. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, let's do some Rough Rider playoff moments, shall we? We have one of those memories on this day in sports next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, a little Rough Rider playoff history. It was the West semifinal in 2006 on November the 5th. The Riders were down 21-6, kicked a couple of field goals before half. It was 21-12 against the Stampeders, and this is how the second half started.
First down. Handoff. Kenton Keith. Gaping hole inside. Gets around Wes Lysak. Now it's a foot race. Kenton Keith into daylight. They won't catch him. Touchdown on the opening play of the second half. 76 yards.
Yes, the Rough Riders would storm back and score 24 unanswered points to beat the Calgary Stampeders. Kenton Keith finished with 141 yards rushing, two touchdowns, 16 carries, and 28 yards in the air for the Rough Riders, who would move on to the West final in 2006. But today was the West semifinal win over the Calgary Stampeders.